going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I saw Ben Johnson throw out the first pitch.
He
took a nice picture with Craig Counsell.
Did a good job.
I wondered, that picture, you frame it, put it up in Dustin's man cave. Who gets the championship first?
This is the question that will be asked for the rest of time in sports.
Craig got the better opportunity.
He's got the better opportunity. Who do you have more faith in to win a championship in Chicago? Maybe that's a better way to phrase the question.
That's a great question.
You can't wait for the season. You want to hear more Ben Johnson. You wanted him to get into the... Why didn't he sing the seventh inning stretch?
Maybe he prefers to sing math.
Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing. So get off your ass, let's do some math. Math, 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 math.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Good morning.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time it is a passing, Mr. David, and the draft is now much closer to 48 hours away.
Good morning, Molly. Yes, happy Tuesday. We are getting ever closer to Thursday night. I wish they would just take this week and make it one round per night and start it maybe on a Monday, maybe last night, maybe tonight, and just go every night instead of anticipating as we are. It's become such an industry that speculation is rampant, and you get a very wide range of opinions on the same guys. And I think it's there's as much disparity this year as there has been in any I can remember.
Well, I got to think that one through a little bit. That's quite.
I love stumping you at 5:32.
It's just more than any draft you can remember.
Well,
I
only think that because as you ponder that, there's so many different opinions being offered because so many different people do this for a living now.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot more.
And so the
information,
the opinions can be defended and explored and offered.
Yeah, I used to enjoy knowing who were the good draft people because now there's just a lot.
And there are a lot of good people who do this for a living that you might respect but disagree with vehemently.
And they might be about as wrong as any five people you've ever
put
in a room.
And they'll be back next year
for
more.
What about like a pick a day? You start like with the first pick. I don't know.
Think about
maybe
7 rounds,
almost 2 weeks,
32
ago,
teams,
and it's Bears Day.
Supplemental picks an extra day. Or do you do those in the same day? Because you're talking about a 210-day draft, or give or take.
Yes.
220-day draft. I don't like that idea.
Well, I mean, you're spreading it out.
I'm spreading it out round by round. And maybe Monday through Friday, and Friday night is culminated with maybe the fifth, sixth, and seventh round.
But I think you're onto something. I think because we have shortened, because the window is so big, like, just have the draft.
It's draft week, baby. Lean into it.
It used to be day one, and it was three rounds.
Yes.
Now it's one round. I don't know if I can go. I don't think I have the patience.
It's Super Bowl week. It's Super Bowl week part two.
For teams like the Bears.
Yeah,
their Super Bowl.
Then
teams that don't play in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the beauty of what I would term draft week. Everybody plays. Everybody participates. Everybody's got a draft pick. So Monday night, round one. Boom, let's go.
Yeah.
Round two. Let's go.
No. Let's get it over quicker. No.
I think I could get on board. I think Monday you kind of have to have that recap of the weekend. I don't think it would be great on Monday night.
Okay.
But I think like some build up off the weekend, big build up Monday, like build, and then tonight. I could see like round one tonight.
First half of the first round.
No. At the very least, I could do the whole thing.
I'd do the whole thing. First round tonight. Second round tomorrow.
16.
Third on Thursday. Friday, 4th through 7th. Boom.
16 picks.
You own the week again.
You own the week again.
Tomorrow, the good team select.
Say
everybody but the Bears select the next day. That would be funny. Yeah.
We talk about it all week anyway. It dominates the news cycle from a sports perspective, even though last night, NBA playoffs off the charts. NHL playoffs, even better. Baseball is, we're in April mode, so you don't overreact to anything. You would own the week if you're the NFL. Say that
you
again?
You don't overreact to things in April baseball.
Well, I know you do. But you're not in a phase where you're transfixed by every little thing yet. So you could, if you're the NFL, it's an opportunity.
The NFL, whenever they want, they have an opportunity.
Yeah.
Whenever they decide, hey, we're going to announce the Brazil game and who gets the rights to it.
Right.
Television rights.
They're
and
telling
then everyone
you,
will stop. Like,
they're telling you what to like, what to watch, and when.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it going to be Kansas City? They're going to Brazil. Who gets to broadcast it?
So that would be the ultimate power play by the NFL, is to say, we're just going to own a week in April, and this is the way we're going to do the draft now.
They do that anyway.
Now you'd have things actually happening.
Don't they own Christmas now? Didn't they take it away from all the religions?
We really should get into that after Easter,
we
too.
We now have Christmas.
Did you see what Phil Jackson said?
Yeah.
Good for Phil.
What did Phil say?
You say good for Phil, and the first time that the NFL wouldn't play on Christmas, you'd be like, I missed the NFL.
Let's see if I missed it or not. You don't need, like, you already have.
You
already
don't need
doing
sports
five,
on holidays?
Okay. Maybe one. Maybe one. But it's just like on Thanksgiving, okay? For forever, we had two games on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Then for some reason, they had to add a third game. They had to add a night. Like, can't people, I mean, even the stores, even, I understand as you're watching on Twitch,
for
Molly's
what
doing
reason
the,
could they possibly,
you know,
add
it's
games?
All about the Benjamins, baby. Okay?
And you'll watch.
Johnny Manziel
you
over
do,
there on the other side of the glass.
And you find ways to make time to see the Bengals and the Steelers, even though you have no rooting interest. You'll watch. You're addicted to football, Dustin.
Be addicted to your family. Okay, like, you know,
is this
public service announcement?
Let's find out what Phil said before we all comment upon it. Let's just give the backstory. I did not see what Phil said. What did Phil say?
Well, I'll have to look it up to read the exact quote, but it has to do. Let me look it up.
Phil Jackson.
It's not audio. He sent out. He went to social media.
He tweeted something basically because there were so many games on Easter, and he referenced Christmas as well. And he basically said something to the effect of, "Can sports not leave these holidays sacred? Is nothing sacred to that extent?" And it's a fair question.
It's a fair question.
It is something that is worthy of debate. And I just would remind, though, people that are bothered, and everyone has the right to be bothered, but you do also have the right to ignore.
Syria, on holidays. Syria A, right? Are you familiar with the name of the Italian professional soccer league?
No, I'm not.
Best in the world. They took the day off yesterday. They canceled games because the Pope passed.
Well, that's out of respect for a passing that definitely you have seen happen in our country, I think.
I'm just saying they did do what Phil wanted.
Here's the quote from Phil, the tweet from Phil. Mm-hmm. Again, the NBA tests faith by playing multiple games on Christmas and Easter, sacred days. That's what Phil said.
He's right. It does test your faith.
No NASCAR on Easter weekend. They take the week off.
Yeah, but their season is so long.
It's hard.
I'm not going to congratulate them for.
Can you imagine
having
some of the horrors of the Easter egg contest with those cars flying by?
It's a choice, though, Dustin. You have a choice to ignore it as well.
Well, We don't have it.
Do you work on Thanksgiving Day?
If the Bears play, yes, I do.
Yes.
Well, if the Bears play, you do. But
this past Thanksgiving, it was all hands on deck because all of a sudden, right, the Bears not only played on Thanksgiving, but then on Friday they fired their coach.
Well, which is your argument? You don't want to work on holidays, or you want to have no sports to tempt you to watch them instead of pay attention to your family?
The second part.
Okay.
Well, again, I'm not saying zero, maybe one, but do we have to have two and three and four? The NBA is so ridiculous that on Christmas Day, they don't even have enough the first team that broadcast, the one year, they had five games on Christmas Day. They only had four broadcast teams. So the one broadcast team did the second game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have enough people to do five games.
They're people too. The fifth broadcast team, they're people too.
Again, the person selling beer, the person parking cars, the person working security, let them be with their families. We don't need a third game, a fourth game, a fifth game. Maybe one, you could twist my arm into two, but you don't need all of them.
All right.
It would have been nice not to have grinded. Here, how about Sunday? How about Sunday? It would have been nice to have not grinded on a 3-hour and 15-minute Cub game, started with a 90-minute rain delay.
You want no games on Sunday now because it was Easter? But not everybody celebrates Easter. Just saying, not everybody in the sports world, the fandom, does not include everyone that observes Easter as a holiday.
Okay.
I just think that you have to also consider that. But it's worthy of debate and discussion.
Well, I mean, whenever there is a break for a holiday, it's an opportunity to get an audience that is locked down in a particular place.
Let's watch the game.
But that's why.
Let's watch the Cubs.
You know, hey, we're going to go over to brunch, and then we're going to sit and watch the NBA for 6 hours.
How many Easter Sundays did you watch Michael Jordan and the Bulls?
Well, Christmas days and Easter's. Yeah, right. I mean, but again, I was also—
coming together, a tradition, a family tradition.
I worked covering those games, and I remember requesting an Easter off— and being told that the guy that I worked with at the time was a pastor and that he had to be off, so I had to work. And I showed up at the Bulls game at the old Chicago Stadium, and there he was working for one of the New York papers, doing a freelance thing for them, and I had to do my thing after requesting a day off.
So you have bad memories.
I was low man on the totem pole. No, I'm just saying, I had a real thing going on, and I thought I would take a day, but I was told I couldn't because other people needed the days, and I understood that. I was starting out, but
everybody's going to come at it from a different perspective, and everyone's experience will be different than yours. And so,
309 texter was pushing back on the first thing we talked about, saying that he believes the NFL draft should go back to the way it was.
That's what I said.
Okay. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Let's
or
go.
How about, or
Let's
how wasn't it, didn't it used to be Saturday, Sunday?
You're missing opportunities if you do that. I understand why.
Didn't it used to be Saturday, Sunday,
I
remember right?
I think it was
right?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
No,
wait.
It was
Saturday, Sunday. There was no Friday night draft.
No,
first round was on Saturday morning.
Day one picks were the first three rounds. So,
but on Saturday, right?
Oh, Jesus.
That's what I mean.
I
don't remember the day of the week. But
I don't remember.
That's important.
Oh, my God.
I don't recall
that. It's not important?
I'm saying they used to have three rounds in one day.
Correct.
Whenever they had it that way.
Nobody was arguing that
point. Then they moved it to Thursday to accommodate just one day.
And to make David happy.
I'm now regretting bringing it up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we've gotten our – we're stuck.
I just like the idea of having draft week. That's all. And I feel
we're
like
having it. We're in the midst of it.
We're in the midst of it. But
you know what's weird for me? I was draft week a lot bigger last year because they had the first pick? Why is this – this seems like a – with the 10th pick, it's like they're going to get a good player, but you're going to have to wait and see who it is. And you better not want somebody, and you better not move out of that because you really need all these picks.
You mean in Chicago, was it a bigger deal last year?
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm saying, number one overall pick, and you had a 9th pick as well.
I'm not saying this isn't a big deal, but I think there's multiple ways they could go.
Well, that's why it's a bigger deal. It feels like we're talking about it maybe even more because of the range of possibility.
Yes.
Last year, you were locked in. You know you were getting Caleb Williams. The debate was in February, in March. What were they going to do? Who were they going to trade? Once they got rid of Justin Fields, you were locked in on Caleb Williams. And then it became a secondary conversation. Oh, yeah, they have the 9th pick, too.
That's what it became. It was all about the 9th pick.
Yeah.
That was the anticipation. I think Caleb was like the coronation and how is he going to react to it all and all that stuff. But like that's what I think this year is so interesting to me anyway. It's like we were talking about it before the show again today. Like you know, who possibly could fall? Who's going to make that jump and get the Bears a better player than they might just get?
Off the top of your head, you would say there are four different positions they conceivably could take. The reality is it might be 6 or 7.
Yeah, it could be. It could be exactly yes. 6 or 7 yes. different players, yes. 5 or 6 different position yes. groups, and you have a roster that you could argue is in a position where you can afford a luxury if you choose to go that route. Or you could argue that they have too many needs that still exist and get to the playoffs before you talk about luxuries. The great thing about drafting 10th this year, when you have the quarterback question answered, is that the speculation runs rampant about everything else you can do because it's justifiable. You could sit here and I could argue for Ashton Jeanty for the next 5 minutes, and then I could say pause, stop, reset, and I could argue against him, and both sides would make sense.
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
Or Will Campbell.
I've heard those arguments. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to decide who is the most argued about player in this draft. And believe it or not, it might be a guy who could be taken in the second round.
Shedeur Sanders?
Could be taken in the second round.
I think you're right. In Chicago, obviously, I think it's Ashton Jeanty. League-wide, I think it's Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
He could go anywhere between third and the second round.
It's crazy.
He could drop out of the first round entirely. There could be one quarterback taken, and he'd be first overall.
And I got to tell you, like you could make a cogent argument to take him high in the draft. I don't think it's the argument I believe. But you could also make just as good an argument to let that guy keep falling.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you would talk about in Chicago, it's the Ashton Jeanty discussion. In New York, it's Shedeur Sanders, places that are looking for a quarterback. Because both sides would have valid points and arguments to make why he makes sense for the Giants in Shedeur Sanders' case and why you would want to stay away as far as possible.
But I think with Ashton Jeanty, the argument shouldn't be whether you take him if he's at 10. The argument should be, if he's not going to be at 10, do you go get him? And I don't know anyone that really would believe that you need to go get him.
I don't think you need to go get him.
That's a lot to give up in a draft that has a lot of running backs.
Well, also, I don't know that you want to be – I don't think that you're – that's a good point. But I also think you're not as – in the Bears situation – you don't have the luxury of having enough picks, and your roster's not set enough to where you can sacrifice a second-round pick, for example, to move up. I would not suggest moving up for Ashton Jeanty. If he were to fall to 10, I would be definitely understanding if they took him and they didn't look back, but that's a different set of circumstances. Moving up, and that's something I would recommend. Not from, I don't think, unless it's Abdul Carter and he drops to 5 or 6, I don't think the Bears should consider moving up at all.
Yeah.
Now, Carter could be, if he starts to fall for whatever reason, then you start to have these really quick conversations like, what do our medicals look like?
See, this,
what would they take?
See, The problem is if he falls, he would fall for a medical. And if that happens, then you really better know what
medical You better
is.
Know what you're doing.
You better
be ready for that, too.
That's a really good way to follow up a draft.
It is, by drafting somebody pre-injured. The Bears, unfortunately, have a lot of experience.
The Bears, I was talking to a friend of mine about how draft day can sometimes be one of the worst times in terms of Bears fandom, because you really have a litany of players that have been either failures or disappointments taken with top picks. And I mean that sincerely.
That's a shame. Those are the memories, but because aren't there other good memories
of different draft stories?
Yes.
Well, there's always a draft story. But I think when you are mired in the kind of mediocrity that they are,
yeah,
it's because they haven't made good decisions.
The mistakes outweigh the hits.
Yes.
The misses outweigh the hits.
Yes.
The bad outweighs the good.
The last time they made it to a Super Bowl, they had a spectacular draft that year. And they had all sorts of contributors out of that draft class,
but
that
remember,
helped them make the Super Bowl.
They did, but remember,
it
yesterday
didn't pay off in the long term.
When I was talking about what to do with those second round picks,
yes,
all of the names I mentioned were second round picks. The Bears arguably have had more success in the second round this century than they have in the first round. And the first round elicits a lot of bad memories and regrettable experiences.
It's fair.
And
it's
decisions.
A fair way of putting it.
You hope this isn't one of those years.
Yeah, and I'm not implying that it is. And in fact, I think I have separated the idea that this is the first draft pick that Ben Johnson oversees. I feel like this is his pick, so I feel a lot better about it than I would if it were not his influence on this pick, because I worry about the way they have drafted. And you look at other teams. You look at Philadelphia, again, signing another player who they drafted, given another extension to another young player. That's a team that's gotten the draft right.
Yeah, they have. They have the same general manager.
As is evidenced by their championships.
They have continuity. They have a Super Bowl ring. They have championships. They have all of the pedigree. With the Bears, you have the presence of Ben Johnson giving you hope that you didn't have last year. Are filling you with confidence. Maybe it's false confidence.
Yep.
Maybe it's misplaced confidence. But there is a belief that his presence will somehow make Ryan Poles a little bit smarter when it comes to evaluating talent. I think that's the hope this year.
That's the hope.
Because of the way that Ben Johnson has taken over and already infused the fan base with a degree of confidence. There's a belief in what he's doing and that he's doing it right. So that will carry over, I think, Thursday night when they make the first draft. Now, they could be making a mistake, but I think they will get the benefit of the doubt this year.
Yeah, well, they get the benefit of the doubt. You always give the player the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying, when you look back and you look at the kind of way it's actually shaken out, it's hard to give anyone the benefit of the doubt. It has not worked to this point, and there's a reason that there's a team that doesn't have enough talent. When you're signing guys in free agency, as you well know, David, you are shopping to make up for the various mistakes you've made during different drafts. And for far too long, the NFL draft in Chicago has been more of a redraft. And here's hoping that those days are over.
Last year's draft can still be one you look back at in 5 years and feel like it was a pivotal draft, even though Kieran Amagaji has received a lot of attention for being a miss. Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze will define that draft long term, hopefully.
But so will Jaden Daniels. I mean, I'm not picking on anyone or anything else. I'm just saying at this point, it's not like every
it depends.
You're right.
It depends. It depends on if Jaden Daniels continues to ascend, or maybe he's the Robert Griffin III example and has a great rookie year and starts to level off.
Right.
We don't know yet. So that's why in the next 5 years, that's why I use 5 years as a measuring stick. You typically do know then what direction those top picks are headed or what they've accomplished. Excuse me, to that point.
Are you breaking down?
You're breaking me down. You guys don't like my idea of having a round per night. You poo-poo my whole draft week plan.
I would love to come in here right now and have a round already breathe in, if you will, and then know today they got the two picks coming, I'd be all over that.
I think I should leave Wednesday sacred, according to Dustin, and now I just have to move on. We'll have to move on to our pick six discussion.
Well, it is Taco Tuesday, so we should leave that sacred.
We will be working on Saturday, you and I and Olin Cruz.
Oh, yeah, we will.
So
yes.
That's good news, and we should let everyone know that because, you know, it's kind of embittering that we only will have one round to go over on Friday and then setting up the next round. I'd love to.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. We've got all Friday to go over the first round.
Oh, I know.
And then we've got Saturday to go over the second round.
But no, we got
the third round.
We got Friday to go over the first round and to anticipate and pregame and build up the second round. And then we get to come in here Saturday and figure out the first few picks while anticipating what else they need and what they. I mean, it's a great day to work Saturday.
It is. Are you referring to the Mullion Hall Draft Special featuring Olin Kreutz, 9 to noon? We react to the Bears due on nights 1 and 2 of the draft, 9 to noon right here on the Score in the Odyssey app.
We'll have Dustin call in and just make an absurd like 15 and 3 kind of.
Well, he's not working. It's Saturday.
No, but he'll call in just with an absurd prediction.
We're leaving him alone. It's a sacred Saturday.
No, we can't stop him from breaking away from whatever.
No, we are. We're not letting him work.
No, he wants
to
make.
I'm not taking that responsibility on.
It's not work. It's just a bold prediction of nothing but success that happens every time he sees a draft.
Dustin, I'll be happy to share if I'm not in the middle of moving a prop.
Moving a prop?
I'm a prop pop.
He's got dance, man.
I move props at dance competitions.
Yeah.
That I don't have to watch some other 12-year-old do. All right. Jazz.
It's time well spent.
We have many, many good things to discuss, and we shall do so next in the Pick Six. This is now you got me all fired up for draft week. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did the Cubs get it right by pulling off a trade with the Seattle Mariners for lefty Drew Pomeranz, 36, pitched for Craig Counsell in Milwaukee in 2019? Was it a wise move because Pomeranz had an upward mobility clause that allowed him to jump from AAA if an MLB team wanted him? Are you at all confused by his numbers? 4.66 ERA with the Tacoma Rainiers, 14 Ks, 9.2 innings with opponents hitting just 176 against him.
Yeah, I can't answer whether this is a good move or not. I just don't know. Never give up on a left-hander, right? Isn't that always the rule? Even a 36-year-old, he hasn't pitched in the major leagues in a bit. And Craig Counsell had him in 2019. It's 2025. I don't know if they've stayed in touch. This could be a heady, smart move. But I don't know that, and I guess there are cash considerations. We don't know what they are. Those numbers are
coffee
wild.
Money.
Explain those numbers to me. How do you give up a 4.66 ERA if you have people are hitting 176 against you and striking out? Like, how does that work? So are you? Yeah, boom goes the dynamite.
Long ball.
Well, I'd like to know that. I think there's like a little gap in some of the numbers I saw. Hey, why not? You know, nothing ventured, nothing lost. There's no reason. You're not. You know, it's only a little bit of money. So what the hell? Let's take a look at it.
I've mixed emotions about this. You know, as David pointed out, April baseball doesn't mean anything.
Didn't say that.
Kind of.
No, I did not. I said we overreact to April baseball. It definitely means something. You can't win a pennant in April, but you certainly can lose one.
I feel like the Cubs gave up on Jordan Wicks. That's what I felt. I feel like they misused him. They brought him out to California as an emergency arm so that they didn't have to use Air Ricketts to get him to where they might need to be in just a couple of hours. And I just don't understand why you would give up on Jordan Wicks so quick. My next question is Craig Counsell now the vice president of baseball operations? I thought that was Jed Hoyer's job. So now anybody that's got a little bit of Craig Counsell stink on them is open for business for the Cubs to pick up and give a tryout to.
Don't even know what role he's going to play yet, Drew Pomeranz. He hasn't pitched since 2019.
Well, he's been pitching. He's just not pitched in the majors.
Okay, but that's a big that's a
long time
hurdle to clear. I'm not going to overreact, which I said April is something we need to avoid. Look at his face, Twitch watchers. Oh, my gosh. Drew Pomeranz is not going to trigger me this morning. Jordan Wicks gave up 5 runs on 8 pitches. Jordan Wicks isn't the answer. He's not ready yet. You know what I'm excited about? You know what I'm reacting to? Cade Horton is dealing at AAA.
Okay, then bring Cade Horton up, right?
Well,
then
Cade Horton is a bigger story than Drew Pomeranz, who's friends with Craig Counsell, so now he's a Cub.
That's my point.
Okay. You don't have answers in your bullpen. You're searching for creative solutions.
Who? Horton, here's a who.
Horton, here's a who. These numbers are irrelevant to me. It's the stuff that matters. So I think that if he has the stuff and he can get a couple batters out from the left side, yeah, he's good. Rent him for May and June. Get the other guys healthy. Get everybody up here. I'm more interested in what guys who will be here in August and September and October have to offer than a guy who might have Craig Counsell's cell phone number.
Are there a lot of those upward mobility contracts? Shouldn't the Sox go out and get a team?
Now, the Sox had signed Drew Pomeranz. I might have understood it more than the Cubs. The Cubs induces a shrug. The Sox have been, oh, I get that.
What did you make of Baseball Reference giving the Cubs the highest percentage to win a World Series among all MLB teams? What metric could they possibly be using? Does any part of this agree to you?
Every part of me wants to agree with it. Every part of me wants to say, oh, yeah. The Cubs, right now, on April 22nd, have the highest chance, the best chance, of any major league team of winning the World Series. I have no idea how they arrived at this conclusion. I want to see the math. I want them to do the math. Baseball Reference, highly respected. You go there every single day if you're a baseball fan. You look at all the ways they compile the numbers. I don't know, is this F-War, WAR, weighted runs, created plot? What goes into factoring and figuring that the Cubs are the World Series favorite as we sit here this morning? Love the idea. Have no idea how they arrived at the conclusion, but it seems a little bit over your skis. Let's focus on the Cubs winning the division and then getting into the playoffs and winning a series. Then we'll talk World Series champion once they beat the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Well, perhaps it has to do with the lower third of the Cubs' order. They are producing unlike any other team in baseball. They also have a two-game lead now in the Central. Not a very good division. The Brewers lost last night to the Giants while the Cubs did not play. So maybe they think that the Cubs would be on cruise control. The thing that you'd have to scratch your head about, though, the Cubs' bullpen ranking amongst all MLB teams, not good. Not good at all, their numbers, despite the fact that they have the record that they have. So it is interesting. Be curious to see what type of computer they run these numbers through.
But that's pre-Pomeranz. I don't know if those numbers hold up.
The odds go up or down?
Look, I think it's exactly what you said. I think that the Cubs are winning games. They're doing it against the best teams in baseball, and they're hitting the heck out of the ball. I think this is a measure of top to bottom how their lineup is doing, and I believe that I don't know that I'm saying the Cubs are the most likely World Series winner, but that's a hell of a lot better than the what is it 0.01% that the White Sox have.
Yeah, well, that's true. There's no doubt about that. Were the White Sox last on the list?
I don't know.
The Cubs were first, the White Sox were last?
They were last in the American League.
Yeah.
They have a point.
Well, the Rockies are in the National League, so maybe the Rockies are below them.
Could the Rockies be below them? Because I think the Rockies have one less win.
Yeah. They're worse than the White Sox.
Yeah. Mm. But wow. But I do think the Cubs' offense has been fantastic. You wouldn't complain about it.
It's got to factor in probably the runs scored.
Yeah. That's got to be it. Especially against how good the teams are playing.
Little fuzzy math, and all of a sudden, boom.
But they're not just scoring these runs against, you know, slugs.
It's not like guys are, like Pomeranz is pitching to them.
Pick six!
At what point do the White Sox start to wonder what they really have in Jonathan Cannon? Now 0-3, 4.81 ERA. Can they afford to replace Cannon in the rotation?
Oh, no, unequivocally not. He's going to have to keep pitching, and he's just there to take his lumps, apparently. I like Jonathan Cannon. I think that he showed some promise from one start to the next. Now he's gotten pummeled a couple times, but that's okay. He's on the worst team in baseball, or maybe the second worst. If there's a way of screwing up the number one draft pick, they will do it. No shadow of a doubt on that one. So, I think that you have no choice. You don't have enough starters to get you through the rotation once, let alone to be dipping into the minor leagues, etc. So, yeah, they got to stay with them. It's you just got to improve your defense and improve your batting and worry about that stuff because there's nothing you can do in terms of benching any pitchers. You got probably like a three-man rotation at this point.
So Jonathan Cannon's going to have to own it. He's going to have to wear it. Yep. I don't know where else they would turn for starting pitching in that organization right now. And again, I prefer them to learn at this level than at the minor league level. If that's, you know, if they've thrown, I'm not saying that they need to rush guys up, but I'm saying he's been here. So now he's got to fight through. This will be something very interesting to ask Steve Stone about. He's with you guys at 9 this morning.
I think he's struggling. I think he's struggling with command. He might be eventually struggling with confidence. Had he been good in spring training, I might feel a little bit differently about the start he's off to. But he was bad in spring training. And the thought was, well, get him to Chicago and everything's going to break differently. And there's going to be a different atmospheric effect on his pitches. And he's going to grow from the experiences last year. And frankly, I don't think that we have seen that kind of progress. I know it's only April 22nd. We're a mere month into the season. But I do think at some point you start to worry about that confidence we talked about. When we floated the idea yesterday of bringing up the White Sox's best prospects from AA to see them as outgetters at the major league level in isolated situations which are maybe specific to their strengths. Was that a buzzer or is that just a mistake? Sorry. The idea of Jonathan Cannon honing his skill in AAA if he's not doing it at the major league level isn't, to me, far-fetched because I'd like to see him have some success. Love it to be at the major league level, but it seems like he's having a hard time finding it and settling down. Good prospect, don't want to ruin or squander that potential. So I wouldn't be opposed to him getting some minor league experience and success.
Martin Perez on the 60-day IL, joining Drew Thorpe, already had his Tommy John, and Kai Bush.
Yep.
They don't have any pitchers.
I know.
They don't have any starters.
They need to go out and get
Dustin's
their...
right,
they need
sadly
to go out and get their Pomeranz.
Pick six!
What do you make of Adam Schefter's report that sources around the league have told him the Bears are, quote, praying that Ashton Jeanty falls to the Bears at number 10. Do you believe they should trade one of their second-round picks to go get the guy if they feel that strongly?
Couple strong thoughts here. Number one, you don't pray for any prospect to drop. I don't know that that's – it seems like it would be an exaggeration. Maybe there's a sentiment like, wow, we would be so lucky if we are able to draft Ashton Jeanty should he drop to 10. But I think they are in the position this year, as we alluded to in the first segment, that they don't have to pray for anything to happen. They are in a very good spot. They're going to get a player that they believe is ready to help them immediately. It could be a range of positions, 5 or 6 different spots, 5 or 6 different position groups are in play. I wouldn't pray for that necessarily. I would pray for all your draft picks to stay healthy and Caleb Williams to be in one piece. And then I would say a prayer of thanksgiving that you have a quarterback, that you have answered that question. Thank you, God, that for giving us a quarterback, because now we don't have to worry about addressing that in this draft. Then at 10, you do what you want. I would not give up a second-round pick to move up to get Ashton Jeanty. I would not give up one of our second-round picks to move up to draft a running back. The only way I would be tempted to give up a second-round pick to move up is if Abdul Carter is sitting there at 6 or 5, and you're like, maybe, just maybe. But I would advise, because of our conversation about the success with second-round picks, keeping those 2 picks and getting starters on day 2 of the draft.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, David. I think the question would be, if Jeanty was all of a sudden there at 10, I mean, did that mean 2 quarterbacks, 3 quarterbacks went in the top 10? Did both tight ends go before that? What would it take in order for that to happen? And then would that sound an alarm? If he's so special and so elite, why are 9 other teams, we'll say 8, because we know that at the top of the draft, the quarterback's going first to the Titans. So why would 8 other teams then pass on him and then he's sitting there for you? You have to scratch your head. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want them to move up I don't want them. I don't think there's anybody worth moving up for. In fact, I'm more on the flip side of it, where I would be okay with them moving backwards if they needed to, like one or two spots if somebody wanted to. I don't want to go beyond 20, but I think you could talk me into going down to 15, and I'd still feel pretty good on what they got, assuming they gained, you know, a nice asset in this year's draft. I don't want one of those future 2026 picks. I want a this year pick.
Yeah, you know, I think that Adam is not making that out of whole cloth. I'm sure that he has talked to people, and there is a belief that is what they want. That maybe the coach really likes the running back and has told that to some of his buddies, whatever it is. I don't think Adam's just making that up. I would imagine if he felt like putting that out there, that, yeah, they are praying that Ashton Gentry drops to them. And I like that idea because it means they know they can't go up and get him. It would be foolhardy to go up and try to get a guy. This, you know, I've got to be careful how I talk about it, but this is a non-premium position. Whether anyone believes it or not, or whether we feel like that has shifted last year because Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley were so good, and Barkley, you know, helped the Eagles to win a Super Bowl. I think that it's not a premier position, especially unless you can get a Saquon Barkley who's going to win you a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? There's a huge difference in doing something like that than there is using a draft pick on a guy that has some question marks, who's never played in the NFL before, and thinking he's going to be a generational talent. I'm not saying he's not going to be a really good player, but there's a big difference between a guy like Saquon Barkley, and you know, he wrote his letter to the general manager saying that when Saquon Barkley was doing his thing, everybody was imagining what would that be like, and he knew. Well, that's great that he understands that, but I would not be giving up a second round pick. Those are valuable choices that they have, and the group of players they can get out of this thing is what will separate this group. So I would never go along with not only, I mean, I got no problem if they want to take the kid at 10, but if he's not there, the idea of going up and giving up even more for a non-premium position, I can't justify that. I would not want to be the person that planted my flag on that one.
Pick six!
Were you encouraged by our lad's draft expert, David Syvertsen, when he told you guys yesterday that he has the Bears taking LSU left tackle Will Campbell with the number 10 pick Thursday night in the NFL draft? Is that an ambitious enough selection for you? Does Campbell and two second-rounders seem like fulfilling Hall to you?
I love that. I thought that was great. I thought, I've seen a lot of mock drafts where people are reaching on other offensive tackles to fill need. The idea that you have your choice of all offensive tackles and you take a guy who is going to be a really good frontline NFL player for 10 years and maybe end up being a pretty good star at his position. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it would be great if that were to happen. And you know, that sounds fine for me. I don't no complaints about Will Campbell. I'm not going to get hung up on the arm length or anything like that. And if they are and they want to take someone else, the fact that they have every available option at that position is I'm leading the band. Let's go marching. That sounds like a ton of fun. That is I'm all for it. And I think the combination of players of the two second round picks with a big man like that get some beef. Let's get some beefaroni, buddy. Let's line them up and let's just have nothing but big, strong, plus 300 pounders a la Dustin Rhodes.
Well, it's 285. Let's be accurate. It's anybody over 285.
You said 280 yesterday.
I thought it was 285.
You said 280.
I thought you said 300.
Well, he's got it at 300.
You added 5 pounds today?
I love you're picking on all the errors this morning. You're pointing them out.
No, I'm not picking on the errors. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, but
I want them to pick a beefy guy. I don't care which side of the ball it is. Beefy guy. 280 pounds or more.
That's a lineman.
What other error did I pick off the... I think I've been complimenting you. We've been agreeing, haven't we?
No, because remember when you were talking, he went like...
Oh, he was making a face, yeah. Well, I like the faces. That's good. It's animated.
It's good for Twitch.
It's great for Twitch. Yeah, that was a funny face, though.
Oh, my God,
that
face.
Priceless.
That face was so funny.
It was a face for radio.
I heard Marshall Harris saying yesterday that he used to hear at his house, fix your face. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Fix your face.
Yeah, it's a
fix
good...
your face.
That's a good...
Was that... Is that just to put your makeup on?
I'll tell you after Saturday.
So, Will Campbell makes a lot of sense for the Bears at 10. I think that there might be some people in that building that if they were praying for Will Campbell to drop to 10, I would understand that as well. He's a guy that would be a fixture for the next 5 to 8 to 10 years if he stays healthy. That's always the caveat with draft picks. As for Will Campbell and the 2 second rounders being fulfilling, don't know who they are yet and don't know who they're speculated to be. If you get 3 starters, potentially day one starters, week one contributors, out of your first 3 picks, then you have had a successful NFL draft. And I think that is conceivable. And that should be the expectation going into this weekend. Do not let the Bears off the hook there. They've got an opportunity with 4 picks in the top 72. 3 of those 4 guys should be in the mix, in your plans, on your screen, whether you're watching in a suite at Soldier Field or at home in your living room or at a sports bar. 3 of the 4 players they draft this weekend in the first 2 rounds, the first 3 rounds, they should be starters. And Will Campbell would be a tremendous start in that direction.
Pick 6!
Do you link a couple of NBA news stories yesterday just for the jot of daydreaming?
Joy.
Okay, well, I didn't know if that was a word I didn't know, so I read it as it was written, typed.
Let me jot down a couple of notes.
Yes, I knew that one, so that's why I thought it was maybe that was what it was.
Trying to jog my memory.
Can it be mere coincidence that the day Cooper Flagg officially declares for the NBA draft, the Bulls would lose a tiebreaker versus the Mavericks? That means the Bulls' draft position is now 12, giving them a 1.7% chance of landing the first overall pick. The last time the Bulls had a 1.7% chance of landing the top pick was 2008, the year they landed Derrick Rose.
Okay, so we're linking these together. All right. I don't think that this is
Flag Day.
It's not Flag Day. I'm not planting my flag in this possibility. I don't think I'm going to get caught up in the hype. That day when they won the draft lottery in 2008 was one of the more surprising days and outcomes in Chicago sports history. You did not expect it. You have 1.7% chance of something happening. You don't think that it's going to happen. If you tell me there's a 1.7% chance of something of raining, you're not bringing your umbrella.
You say you got a chance.
It's just one of those things that you look at the tiebreaker, losing the tiebreaker. Is this really a headline? They lost the tiebreaker. Okay. But they're not going to be getting the number one overall pick. Will I watch the draft lottery? No.
Hashtag capture the flag. What do you mean? Is this a news story? Yeah, I mean, I had a massive reaction when I heard that they lost the tiebreaker.
I had a massive shrug.
And how was the tiebreaker conducted? They still flip a coin? Is that
I don't
still,
know.
I mean, they should.
It's a blind draw.
These are silly questions.
Eating contest between it. Shaq and the round mound of rebound himself on the halftime show at TNT last night. I mean,
the hockey picker.
Hockey picker.
My teams did not do well last night. Oilers lost. That was hurt. That
6-5.
Hurt. That was a great game.
6-5 hockey.
Oh my
game.
Gosh, I stayed up too late watching that. We digress. So you think it's a big deal?
I think it matters.
Well, look, how coincidental is it that when they won the one and only draft lottery they won, they did so with a 1.7% chance. And now, after losing another tiebreaker and things seeming to really turn for them, they've got a 1.7% chance. That's their magic number. Can you imagine what it's going to be like watching the flag man with Matas going one-on-one in training camp?
My money's on Matas.
Of course it is.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly. It's fun. It's just a fun, weird, kind of strange fun with numbers. I don't think they're going to get the number one overall pick. But if they did, wouldn't that be a way to get them out of their doldrums?
Yes. Oh, of course. And if they traded for the Joker, they would be much closer to a championship. And if Kevin Durant came for 2 years, they would be more competitive next year. These are all things that would be fun to consider, but unlikely to happen.
Adam Silver, make it happen!
You want them to fix the draft
lottery? Of course I do!
How do they do that this
It's good for the NBA when Chicago is good. You freeze the envelope, yeah. You do the same thing you did. Reach for the cold one.
It just seems like the Bulls are going to draft 12th. They're going to stay where they are, maybe move up a spot or two.
They could go as high as 4.
But they got a 9% chance of that? Is that what Tankathon.com says? And maybe. But I am surprised that you are as caught up in this possibility, as unlikely as it seems.
It was just the joy of a brief daydream. We were supposed to have a moment with it, but we couldn't even get spell check to leave us alone.
What? You can enjoy the possibility as much as you like. I'm asked my reaction to it, and I didn't really have one because I didn't put much stock in 1.7% chance of anything happening. That's not exactly even the close to the definition of likely. It's more unlikely. Definitely unlikely. 8K, remote even.
8K's revenge.
Wow. Well, that would be a press conference I would love to watch if AK addressing the assembled Bulls media after winning the draft lottery. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, my God.
Man.
That would be a fun one. That would be one of the rare Bulls media moments you'd want to attend. All right, we got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health.
At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Does another two-game series with the Dodgers do anything for you? Or have you already seen enough of all these West Coast baseball teams? Are the Cubs handling everything so well it doesn't matter? Or are you ready for some Midwestern mediocrity for a change?
I'm good with the Dodgers being here. I'm good with everyone looking at this as a measuring stick series, even though it's only two games. I'm good with the team that has the highest percentage chance of winning the World Series, according to Baseball Reference, taking on the visitors from California. You want me to get excited about a percentage chance of something happening? That's what I'm excited about. Baseball Reference telling me the Cubs are World Series contenders. All right? That's the fun part. 1.7% chance. The Cubs and Dodgers, back to that, not to digress. But you keep baiting me with little digs like that during the update. I think the Cubs, with Shota on the mound tonight, can win a game, not necessarily make a statement, but keep the good vibes going and flowing. It's a good start to the season. I do see why, in the spirit of the question, kind of sick of these Western Division teams. The NL West, enough already. Haven't even seen the Giants yet. Can you just show us what the Cardinals look like so we can remember? Do you want any part of the Reds right now? Maybe not. How about the Braves? Aren't they struggling? So anybody but the NL West, getting a little sick of that. The Padres, done with them for a while, right? Forever this season? So Dodgers tonight, Dustin May, Shota, must listen radio right here on The Score. Must watch if you're going to the game or watching at home, because the Cubs lineup is going to get to Dustin May, and they need to take one out of two in this two-game series to feel good about the Dodgers visiting.
Agree. You got to at least split. This is the last time the Cubs and Dodgers will play until potentially October. Craigtober, if you will. Much better than a game against the Reds, sorry, Ryan Porth, or a game against the Pirates on a Tuesday in April, right? I mean, the juices.
Skeens is pitching.
Yeah. Did you see Skeens about the bobblehead?
Yeah. Oh,
gosh, what a reaction.
I mean, I get it.
He's human all of a sudden, Paul Skeens. So I will be watching. I will be listening. I love the fact that Shota is going in this one. And I think there is some juice over at 35th and at the Federal Landmark tonight, because the Cubs and Dodgers, the world champs, are in town. I think that's got to get people excited and pumped up. And then there's some speculation that the Dodgers might be having to move Dustin May, and somebody that the Cubs might be interested in trading for. That's floating around out there.
I like that.
Yeah, there's two with the Dodgers. I'm sick of all these West Coast teams. Enough Arizona, San Diego, L.A. Enough. You know, I know they got the Phillies, so it's still one last little kick in the shins. Then you get Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. That's the games you want to see. And then San Francisco comes in to blow it up. But then Miami and the White Sox, that's where you really are going to put together kind of the separation part of the season. You're not there yet. You're still playing the good teams. And enough L.A. Aren't you sick of them? Are we going to go to that Japanese restaurant where supposedly some of the Dodgers hang out?
We got plans?
We could run into them tonight.
All right. I'm in.
What's the name of it again?
We can't say it out loud.
Oh.
Because you can't pronounce it.
It's gotta be.
Why? We can tell. We can say it out loud.
Yeah, we can tell you. Not on the air.
We need to find out.
Because we don't. We want to be able to get in.
Well,
so we
Shota
can go see the Dodgers.
Pitching tonight. Is Yamamoto pitching tomorrow?
Let's go.
They were TBD.
They haven't announced the starter.
The live Fly the W podcast last night, they were still TBD.
What does that mean? Interpret that.
TBD?
Well, no,
to
I know.
To be determined.
What are they waiting for? I oh my gosh.
What are the Dodgers waiting for? I don't know if they have an injury concern or they just have a glutton of pitchers that they just haven't, you know, hopefully it's that Clayton Kershaw maybe.
Show us your work. What are you talking about the Dustin May rumor? Where's that coming from?
I've just heard it circulating that the Dodgers have a surplus of starting pitching. The Cubs are probably in need of a starting pitcher. He's got a little bit of postseason work under his belt. And so there might be a match. The question is, what do you got to give them to get him?
Pomerantz.
We'll start with that. Yeah, we'll start with they can afford him.
Well,
they can afford him.
I don't know how you can part with Pomerantz. I mean, he means so much to the cause.
Maybe they'd love Jordan Wicks. Maybe they'd like a Jordan Wicks.
Don't give up on Jordan Wicks.
Because the Cubs have given up on Jordan Wicks.
Don't give up on Jordan Wicks.
I'm not. I just don't understand the handling of Jordan Wicks. I've not given up on him.
But you accused the Cubs of giving
him
up.
I think they mishandled. I still was bothered by the fact that they took him from Iowa, had him skip a start, and brought him out there in case of emergency break glass kind of thing.
It didn't break the glass.
Did you see how fired up he was, though, when he threw out Josh Naylor at the plate when they tried to steal home?
I was fired up
when I watched that on Easter, David.
How did he get Naylor? That's incredible.
Well, nailed him.
How did that guy run?
That was a bad decision, but I liked the fire from Jordan Wicks.
Would Acuna want him benched?
That's a him doing that. If that was on his own, that would be something that would get you benched, wouldn't
yes.
it? Yes. Yeah, that was not a smart play. But nonetheless, the Cubs, I think, and Dodgers, the next two games, I'm good with them leaving town and not seeing them again till October.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm kind of done with them.
The only thing good about it is that you don't have any more of the, like, we've gotten rid of those 905s. We've gotten rid of a lot of those 905 starts in baseball for the Cubs. That's good for this show, particularly
for our purposes. Yes. Yeah,
it's a 6:05 pregame. That is brilliant for this show.
I like the 10 a.m. first pitches.
That might be a little too early. The 10:10 first pitch. I tuned in and they were already. I tuned on CHSN. They were already on a replay of the game. It was like at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I saw the same thing.
Like, wait a minute.
It might be a little early for Ozzy to get up on a regular basis too. So, all right, let's keep them.
Yeah, he definitely has to wake up early tomorrow. That 8:00 comes quick.
Looking forward to that.
All right, we will be right back. 312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Well, there are a few things that Ovechkin hasn't done. Not many, but he's never scored an overtime game-winning goal in the playoffs.
Really interesting here. He's on the shooting spot on the left wing. The Canadians have Demidov and Laine on the ice. A rookie and a player not known for his defensive play.
The puck is free, and a great chance for Beauvillier. Ovechkin scores! Now he has that playoff overtime goal! What else can he do? Washington wins 3-2.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, Sports Radio 670, The Score, last night. The Canadians lose, and we're going to celebrate the greatness of Ove once again getting his first ever.
Congrats to Ovechkin.
Really?
To me, the most impressive thing was...
Enough congratulations to him.
Okay.
Go back to Rusky.
Well, Sean McDonough calling that as in real time before it happened. Setting the scene, and 10 seconds after he set the scene, Ovechkin did exactly what Sean McDonough reference he hadn't done yet. So cool moment in the NHL playoffs, and they delivered again last night.
Cool moment if you're not a Canadiens fan.
It was a good moment. It was how many Canadiens fans? It was cool. Something that he has never done before in his entire career, the greatest goal scorer in history. So that was cool. Another thing that happened last night that we are about to see more of that as you kind of were flipping the dial, looking for games that there was no game in Chicago to watch.
Right.
Javi Baez playing center field for the Tigers.
Oh, boy.
Was something that at this stage of his career, I was surprised that he pivoted this way. They are looking at him to be a pretty regular player in center field. He has, you know, won gold gloves as an infielder. He's a tremendous defensive player, but obviously at this stage of his career hasn't hit. But they're finding him, you know, they're going to find a way to use him, according to A.J. Hinch. And Javi Baez, Tiger center fielder.
He's hitting .271.
Yeah.
Had a hit, scored a run last night. Much better than of recent memory for him, so.
Yeah, I mean, he makes me uncomfortable. I just think the memories of Javi make me uncomfortable. He was such a great, dynamic player, fed off the energy of the crowd. I just feel it's like sad the way he's aging in baseball. That's all. It just tells you certain guys should never have left the team they were on. He's a guy. He's might be the best example of a guy that needed the Cubs as much as the Cubs needed him.
I think Schwarber's a lot more of a loss to lament than Javi Baez.
But Schwarber's been on seven teams or something.
Nah,
right?
He's not been that far.
No, he's bounced
all over. He went
to
the Nationals, and then he spent a cup of coffee with the Red Sox. Then he ended up with the Phillies, and he's a fixture, and he's a Philly fixture.
Yeah, he's been bouncing around.
People are fanatic about
We're acting like he only played for one other team. I mean, Javi nearly signed a contract before
COVID hit.
Javi
was with the Mets. He was with the Mets.
No, but I'm saying before they nearly had a contract extension done with him before the Great Purge.
Yeah.
And it would have been – he would have had a hell of a career if he stayed.
I think the Cubs losing out on Schwarber was a bigger miss and a lot bigger loss than Javi. Javi meant more to the Cubs in terms of – when he was here, I think he played a bigger role in some of those great teams. Obviously, having the runner-up MVP season, that was terrific. But I think that losing Schwarber was a bigger miss. When they got PCA for Javi, so they used him well in getting returned. Schwarber represents the biggest mistake Jed Hoyer's made as an executive with the Cubs.
Wow, I have to think that went through. There's just been a lot of trades, and there's been a lot of people moved. That's not a shot at Jed. I'm just saying I'd have to sit down and get a scorecard out.
That's his biggest miss.
Because the Cubs aren't the only team that missed on him. The Cubs aren't the only team that had him and then missed and would regret it now.
Cubs are the only team that got nothing for him after drafting him, using him, developing him.
After watching
and
him win a
dispatching
World Series.
Him, you don't win in a salary
Series.
Dump.
You do not win that World Series without Schwarber.
Oh, I know.
It was unbelievable.
That's why they should have kept him. Anyway, cool night in sports. Whether you liked it or not.
Let's stare into the abyss of former Cubs. Wow. All right, we got our guy Ross Tucker. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to talk about the draft. We can pick apart a few fun subjects with Ross Tucker next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.